This is Medrash Rabbah, Parshas Toldos, Part 1. It's entitled, Why Was Yitzchak So Terrified About Giving Out the Wrong Blessing? So we all know the story that on the urging of his mother Rivka, Yaakov was dressed up to look like Esav and received the brachas that were supposed to go to Esav. And when that was finished, Yaakov left, and just as he left, Esav walked in. Now the Torah uses very specific language to discuss the emotions that Yitzchak felt at that moment when he realized that Esav was coming in and he identified himself as older brother when he thought he just gave the bracha to Esav. It says, Vayicharad Yitzchak charada gedola ad ma'od. He experienced this terrifying fear. So the Medrash is, as it often does, is doubling down on this specific language. You know, we've learned this story as kids. Of all the reactions I would expect, why is it terrifying fear? You could tell me it's anger. Somebody is fooled. They get angry. In fact, the Medrash goes so far as to say that he was so angry that he could have even thought about cursing Yaakov for what he just did, for fooling him. But God stopped him. And in fact, the Medrash says that something, same language, appears with the story of Boaz and Ruth. That he was, you know, when he saw Ruth lying there, he was also terrified and was about to curse her. And again, God stopped him. Of course, these are two instances where Jewish destiny is at stake. God does not give them free will at that moment. But let's get back to our subject. So why not anger? In fact, the Medrash goes on to say that how terrified was Yitzchak? More terrified than during the Akedah. More terrified than the binding of Isaac when his father was going to, kill him, thinking that this is what God wanted. Although, of course, God only wanted him to be raised up. He didn't want him to be slaughtered, but this is what he thought. And you can imagine what a terrifying moment that is. This was more terrifying. So why was it so terrifying? There is a minor commentary on the Medrash Rabbah called the Mishnas de Rabbi Eliezer, who gives a brilliant answer. He basically reverts back to a previous Medrash in which Avram is discussing with God the exact nature. What is the system of reward and punishment for the Jewish people? And there are two choices given to Avram. One is Gehenna, which is sort of the Jewish idea of hell. And that, of course, if someone goes to Gehenna, they're threatening their next world, all their rewards for how they acted in this world is all a preparation for the next world, and all that is in jeopardy. They have to go to Gehenna. It's a terrible, terrible thing. The other option is what's called Malchiot. What is Malchiot? It means being subjugated by the different kings. We had this in a previous Medrash when Yaakov went up and down the ladder. He saw the four kings. They are, the first one is Babylonia, when they destroyed the first temple. The second one is Persia Media. That overlaps with the Purim story when they came back to rebuild the second temple. The third one is Greece. That's, of course, the Hanukkah story. And the last one is the destruction of the second temple, which is Esav, Rome. So this is the way Jewish history unfolded as we know it. But all this, according to this parish, all this was in jeopardy. Because once Yitzchak realized that Yaakov got the bracha meant for Esav, it means he had to compensate. He had to give him a new bracha. He had to give Esav a new bracha, which would reset the balance, because the bracha that Yaakov got made him dominating over Esav. But as you see from Jewish history, and you see even more importantly from this way that Avram and Hashem negotiated the future reward and punishment system for the Jewish people, it can't be that they get Gehenna. It has to be that countries are dominating over the Jewish people. That is going to be our adversity. That is how we're going to grow. And from that, and this is the way God chose to punish us. And in fact, one version of the Medrash says that Avram made the wrong choice, and Hashem said, no, wrong choice, choose again. It's not Gehenim, it's got to be Malchiyot. So of course, this had to be fixed, since Yaakov got this blessing, it had to be fixed. It cannot be that Yaakov permanently dominates over Esav, so he had to be given, Esav has to be given a bracha where he is dominated. How? By putting in a condition that whenever the Jewish people will not keep the Torah, then Esav is on top, then he can dominate over the Jewish people. That's going to fix the issue, this fundamental issue that was caused by Yaakov stealing the bracha from his brother. So if you can imagine, that is why there was such great, terrible fear, great charada, because Yitzhak realized that it was a total imbalance and he had to restore it. Otherwise, the Jewish people were destined for Gehenna. The exact words in the Torah, putting back this clause in the bracha to Esav, that if the Jewish people left the Torah, then there would be this consequences, that Esav would be on top and able to dominate Yaakov. That is in the words, Vayark asher tarid ufarakta ulo me'al tzavarecha, right? If there is a moral decline among the Jewish people, then you can break the yoke of the Jewish people. You could break the yoke of Yaakov. So our original question was, why did the Torah use this word charada? Why was this terrible dread that Yitzchak felt? So there is one more reason, because besides what I mentioned, that it could, God forbid, bring an imbalance that would bring the punishment of Gehenim, it also, you have to understand the vision that Yitzchak had for his two sons. This was written up in the Sefer of Aaron Cutler, that he thought that, you know, Esav would take care of the physical world and Yaakov would be involved in the spiritual world. They would help each other out. And this, of course, all came crashing down at this moment. And there is yet another reason for the dread, for the charada felt by Yitzchak. Have a great Shabbos. Stay tuned for part 2, which continues analyzing this dramatic event